one of the things when the Lord is describing men or people who are lost in the book of Romans chapter 1, He lists all the awful sin of the old nature, which was common to all of us. We all by nature were sinners, and we did all those things according to the flesh. But yet God had mercy and saved us. But in listing all those things, I mean everything from sexual perversion to all types of adultery, everything else, right in the middle of that, He said, and neither were they thankful. And that really struck me one day that God took note of their ingratitude to Him. And He blessed all of us. But I don't ever want Him to think that of me, that I'm not thankful. And I know you're the same way. So during this time of the year, we want to be thankful. So look with me, please, at Psalms number 103 and verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, how do you bless the Lord? Well, literally, that has the idea of praise. Praise His name. Thank His name. Glorify His name. And all that is within me, bless, praise Him, glorify Him. His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all them that are oppressed. I'm going to leave off the reading there. But if it's the Lord's will, I want to deal with those first six verses this morning, and tonight I'll finish the rest of that psalm. It is just loaded with wonderful truths that we don't want to miss out on. So let's bow right now together and ask God to bless us and help us this morning. Father, I want to thank You again for Your mercy and grace. God, thank You for the wonderful singing. Lord, I thank You for Amanda and Chris. And then, Lord, for the congregational singing and for Chris leading the singing and Miss Jennifer playing so beautifully again this morning. Our Father, we're thankful. Here we are in a beautiful building. Our Father, we have our health. We're here to worship You. We have our family and friends around us. And yet, our Father, I know around this world there are those who have none of those things. There are people who have absolutely no peace this morning. They have wakened this morning, their body racked with pain. Maybe there's all type of illness. But many of them, because of their sin, because of what they've done. And our Father, they don't have what You blessed us with. God, You've been so gracious to all of us. And God, You said that You're seeking people to worship You. Lord, this morning we bless Your name. This morning we lift You up and exalt You and magnify that name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, God, do something here among us this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful I can bow this morning and acknowledge the fact that there's no good thing in me. But God, You've been so good to me and Regina and our family. And God, I pray, God, that You'd bless this church and every family member. So many of our church family this morning at home, and God, they would love to be here, but their bodies would not allow them to come. And God, I pray You'd minister to them in a very special way. I pray, God, that, Lord, in an unusual way this morning, the Holy Ghost of God would move among our church family that's watching and not able to be here, and friends who join us from other places. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that You birth in our heart this morning praise and adoration. Dear Holy Spirit of God, help me. God, I need You this morning to be a blessing to Your people, and God, to speak to those who may not know Christ. And God, I'll thank You and praise You and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in Sunday school, Brother Levon did an awesome job reminding us of who God is and all of His attributes, His omnipresence, His omniscience. He knows everything. He's omnipotent, has all power. He is immutable. He never changes. And I thank God for that. But here, David, this has burst on his heart afresh and anew. And he just kind of screams out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. In the first place, praise, I want you to know the depths of our praise and our thanksgiving to the Lord. It shouldn't be just something we say as a byword or just something passing. Notice the depth of it. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And in the Old Testament as well as in the New, when they wants to emphasize that that comes from the inner man, that comes from that spiritual part of man where he's been regenerated, born again, where the Holy Spirit of God is living. He said, out of the depths of my heart and with all of my heart, I bless the Lord and I praise his name. And he said, notice, he said, in all that is within me, that is with every fiber of my being, with all of my intellect, with all of my emotion, with all of my heart, he said, I am so thankful to the Lord. I wish this morning that God would birth that in our heart to be grateful. I got up this morning and you know, I've been having trouble with my Achilles and man, I could hardly put weight on it. And I came down the hall and I said, Lord, I'm going anyhow. I'm going to keep on going. And I went and it just a matter of moments, it eased off and didn't hurt. And I know there's a reason for that, physical reason perhaps, but more than anything, I felt like God touched me this morning. And I was thankful. And I said, God, there's a lot of people that never could even get out of bed this morning. There's plenty that couldn't walk. And God, I want to thank you so much for what you've done for me. And my dear friend, here is the depth of our gratitude. It's not just something off the top of our head. It's not something flippant. It's not just not something that we use like vain repetition. But from the depths of our heart and all that is within us, the fiber of our being, we ought to be thankful to God for what he's done for us. Be mindful of it. Most of us do not appreciate God's goodness or his blessing on us until we don't have them. But let's take time and let's pray God the Holy Ghost will make us grateful. Notice not only do I note here the depths of our thanksgiving, this is our whole heart thanksgiving. This is the emphasis of my mind and heart this morning, that we are to worship him with all of our mind, our heart, our soul, with every fiber of our being, we are to magnify him and thank him for what he's done. But not only that, I notice the detail of this praise. Notice what he says in this passage of scripture. Bless the Lord, verse 2, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. His first admonition to us is not to forget the blessings of the Lord. You and I tend to do that. We get busy enjoying the blessings of God and not thanking him for all of it. We tend to forget the source of our blessing. Did you know the Bible said that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of light? We'd not have breath. We'd not have a heartbeat. We'd not have anything were it not for him. He is the source of all of our blessing. And he said, don't forget that. Always remember that he is the gift, a giver of all good things. He is our source. But then not only do we forget our source, but quite often we forget the scope of it. We're to bless him with all our heart, with every fiber of our being. But understand that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. Everything that you enjoy, every step you've ever taken, everything you've every mouthful of food you've ever had, it came from him. Listen, the scope of it, you think about everything you are in every fiber of your being, everything about you, everything you've ever had came from him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means all the potatoes you ever ate were his. You ate his green beans. You ate his hamburger. All of it's his. Everything belongs to him. And he gave to us all that we need. And the scope of it, that is that everything we've ever had came from him. Don't forget that. And I know I may be repetitious from Sunday to Sunday, but I won't just get the idea that in him we live and move and have our being. And without him, we can do nothing. But without him, we would not have anything. And without him, we would be nothing. My dear friend, God has been so good to us. Don't ever forget the source of your blessing and don't forget the scope of your blessing. But please don't ever forget the sweetness of that blessing. Why did God do it? Why did He do anything that He's ever done for us? I believe it's in that verse, the key verse that where He talks about giving His Son. He loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son. And I want you to know that everything that God's ever given us came out of a heart of His love for us. He created you, fashioned you. And you ought to take every gift, every blessing as a gift of His love. He did it for you, and He's doing it for you now, everything He's given to you. But now notice, not only are to remember, but now notice we are to recount those things. He would have us to always list them and be thankful for them. And so we have to recount them. And that begins with, look at verse number 3. He said, He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, if you have a pen, would you circle that word all? Who forgiveth all our iniquities. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I would hate to think in 76 years of living how many sins I have committed. I mean, just think about it. Oh, actual physical outward sins, most of us could remember those. But think about the sins of our thought life. How many thoughts, and somebody's calculated that during the day, I mean, we have just a crazy number, something like 100,000 thoughts go through the mind of the average person every day. And out of that 100,000 or the thoughts that you may have, how many of them were not right? How many of those were thoughts of jealousy or lustful thoughts or critical thoughts or anything like that? And not only that, think about the whole time of your life. All, he said, every thought, every deed comes into light and is manifest. Every wicked thought, every thought you had that was not correct, every doubt. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And doubt is contrary to faith, and therefore it's sin. And all our sinfulness in worry and doubt, all of those sins, and then the sins, of course, of action, things that we've done that were contrary to the Bible, but then all the sins of omission, things that we should have done. James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. And all of our sin, but then compound that by 250 people in this building this morning, or all the population of Johnson County, or Harnett County, or North Carolina, or the whole world, and then multiply that from the time from Adam to the time of the rapture of the church. And the Bible said that God laid all of those sins on His Son, and He forgave us all of our iniquity, all of our total iniquity personally, but all of the iniquity of all the world was laid on Christ. And my dear friend, you ought to be thankful for that, because you know how much sin it would take to send you to hell? One sin. James said, if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. So we're all by the law condemned, and we're condemned already because of unbelief. We've not believed on the name of the Lord. But God forgave all of our iniquity. Oh, listen, I am so thankful. There have been things in my life and things in your life, things you said, things you thought, things you did, that right now, as I've been talking, you've been reminded of them and you thought about them. But can I tell you that on the other side of the glory land, where God dwells in the third heaven, He doesn't remember not one of your sins. He forgave them all. They're all gone. I remember a dear friend one time contacted me after some length of time and said, preacher, I want you to forgive me. And I said, he went on to say, for what? And I said, brother, I forgave you the day it happened, the moment it happened, I've already forgiven you all those years. And when you come by faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you bow before Him and you say, oh God, I'm a sinner, please forgive me of all my sin. If you listen very close, the Holy Ghost of God would say, I've already done that. I did that at Calvary. I took my Son's sacrifice sufficient for your sin, and He forgives all of our iniquity. He said He washes them white as snow. Oh, listen. Think about it. God saved you. Now you say, I live with it. I know who I am. I do too. And do I still fail the Lord? Do I sin? Yes. But thank God He's already made provision for that as well. He forgave all of my sin, past, present, and future, and in the death of His Son. And one of these days, He'll make it evident to me and evident to you, because He's assured us in the book of Revelation that one day we'll stand before Him without spot and without blemish. Thank God for that. It'll all be gone. We'll come to realize it. He already knows it in Christ, but we'll come to realize it. Oh, thank Him this morning that your sins are gone. Thank Him that He's forgiven you of all your sin. Has He saved you this morning? Has He forgiven your sin? If so, say amen. 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 And let's say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of my iniquities have been forgiven. But then notice as He continues to recount the goodness of God, and He said, who healeth all thy diseases. You and I both have gone through a lot of physical things, and so many of our church family are still going through those things. And you say, well, Brother Billy, it's pretty evident He hadn't healed you of all yours, hadn't healed others. Yes, the testimony is this, we're believing by faith the healing of God. God does it. Sometimes He does it in time. Sometimes I have seen God instantaneously heal people. God did that. People prayed and God healed them. And that was instantaneous. I've seen God use means, doctors and nurses, but when it's all said and done, God gets the glory. But then I'm going to tell you something else. I can promise you this, that there's coming a day that there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more cancer, and it'll all be gone. And sometimes that healing comes in a brand new body and in a place called heaven. My dear friend, it's all going to be gone. Your sin will be gone. But your health right now, physical sickness, disease, one day that'll all be gone. And He's already promised that. That's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He heals all of them. Sometime He does it now. Sometime He'll do it tomorrow, maybe a few days later or a year later. But sooner or later, all sickness is gone. Sooner or later, all disease is gone. Every arthritic bone, every pain, every sorrow, dementia's gone completely. It'll all be gone, because in the land that's fairer than they, you don't have any of those things. And if He's going to do it tomorrow, I would thank Him. If I thought He's going to do it in the next few moments, I'd thank Him. If I thought even next week on next Friday, He was going to completely heal me of everything that I've got going on, I'd thank Him. And so why can't I just look just a little bit further and know that one of these days it's going to all be gone. We'll have a brand new life. I remember when I was in Tennessee Temple, Paul Smith, some of you may have heard over the years, up in Ontario, Canada, the People's Church of Ontario, great, great church, years and years. And Dr. Oswald Smith was pastor there. And then his son Paul took over. And when I was in Tennessee Temple, his son Paul was pastor of that great church, and he came. And he stood up in chapel that morning, and we had 2,500 students or more. The auditorium of Highland Park Baptist Church was pretty well full in that chapel service. And he said, I have been looking forward to this day for so long. He said, when they contacted me and invited me to come to Tennessee Temple and preach in chapel, he said, I thought that was the greatest honor. And he said, I was getting ready to take my flight this morning from up in Ontario and fly to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he said, when I got up, I got out of the bed, and he said, my lip was hurting terribly. And when I got into the bathroom, I looked, and he said, I've got a terrible cold sore. You can probably see it from the balcony. And he pointed at it, and sure enough, I was sitting, me and Regina were sitting right off over here, and you could see it. I hadn't paid much attention to it until he pointed it out, and everybody in the place could see it. And he showed us that big old cold sore he had on his lip. And he said, I stood there and looked at that and I said, Lord, why in the world of all the mornings have I got a cold sore? And he said, then I began to realize that he heals me of all my diseases. And he said, I looked at that cold sore and I said, cold sore, you might get on that plane and fly with me to Chattanooga. You might get on, when I walk up to preach, you might still be there. But there's coming a day that my Savior's going to heal that, and I'll still be here, and it's you going to be gone. And I'll tell you right now, one of these days, all your sins are going to be gone. One of these days, all your diseases are going to be gone. And so let's right now believe in Him. Let's praise Him for that. And will you just say, thank you, Lord, right now. Do it. Thank you, Lord, for healing all of our diseases. One of these days, you won't hurt anymore. One of these days, you won't have cancer anymore. God's going to heal us all. And David said, don't you forget it. Don't forget it. Remember this, that He heals all. Notice, circle the word all your iniquities. And then He heals all. Now, if He doesn't do that, He's lied and He's not going to lie. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be next year. But it might be when Jesus comes in the rapture. But it'll all be gone. I promise you that, and I thank the Lord for that. He begins to recount and list all of those things that He's going to do. But now notice, he also makes mention of this, verse 11, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. When I was in Tennessee Temple, we had a young man to come, and God saved him out of a drug culture and everything else. And he had a famous sermon he preached called All My Friends Are Dead. He lived in that type of environment. I mean, it was just death after death, overdosed, and drug deals gone bad, and people getting shot, and all gang wars and everything else. But God saved him. But he preached a message on all my friends are gone, all my friends are dead. And he was pointing out the fact that God had not only saved his soul, but God had redeemed his life. And that's what this passage said. Have you ever thought where you would be today if He hadn't saved you? How many friends do you have that are dead? How many friends did you have that their marriages were ruined and things happened horribly in their life? How many friends did you, where would you be today if God hadn't redeemed our life? Notice he goes on further to amplify that. He said he redeemed our life from destruction. That means somebody or something wanted to destroy you. The devil didn't want you to get saved, and God saved you, but the devil wanted to destroy you, and he's still working at it. But he said he redeemed us, and he delivered us from destruction, redeemed us, our life from destruction. That means that He delivers us from the destroyer. The Bible said, if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And thank God that He's delivered us not only from destruction, from self-destruction and sin destruction, but from satanic destruction. No telling what the devil would have done in your life or to your children or to your wife or your family if God had not been merciful. You read about things and you hear about things and you wonder. I think I may have shared this. I got a phone call from a preacher friend and he reminded me of a name and I knew the name, but I'll be honest with you, I could not really remember the man. 80 years old down in Florida, and he had been a preacher. He'd pastored some churches and preached around. He was more like a lay preacher, but his wife played the piano and they sing. But he began to have some dementia. And for some unknown reason, a couple of weeks ago, he killed his wife and then he killed himself. Now, I can't explain all of that to you. And you say anything you want to, and I don't want to be critical. I'm just saying that God has saved my life from destruction. The devil wanted to destroy you. He wanted to destroy your family. He wants to rob you of your children. And God has blessed you. And listen, He redeemed your life from destruction. Here you are, most of you have got good sense. I'm talking about me. But you have good homes and you have transportation. You've got good clothes. You have happy. You're looking forward to Thanksgiving. But where would you have been had it not been for the grace of God? Where would you have been? God's been so good to us. He redeemed our life. Not only saved our soul and heals all our diseases, but He redeemed our life. He's done that for us. Oh, He's defended us against the destroyer. And He's delivered us from our self-destruction. And then He has done this. He delivered us from the devastation that we could have experienced. God's been good to us. But not only that, notice what He says further. He has redeemed us, He said, but He shows this to us, but who crowned our life with loving kindness and tender mercies. He not only saved us from our sin, not only healed all our diseases, not only redeemed our life, but He has overblessed us with loving kindness and with mercies every day of our life. Loving kindness. So many things have happened, little things that we take for granted, but all those things that were blessings that we think about, they all came out of His loving kindness and tender mercies. That means those times that He could have judged us, He dealt with us, and I'll deal with that further tonight, but extended mercy. Mercy is for guilty people, and we've been guilty of so much, but He extended to us. But look at verse number 5. In verse number 5, here is part of that satisfaction that He gave us. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. That eagle, over a period of time, his beak becomes calcified. He begins to molt. He begins to lose those old feathers. And an eagle will go away and he'll get off in a place by himself. And there his feathers will come out. And we took a picture. We went by John and Peggy's the other day. And Regina said, look, is that a bald eagle? And it was. I mean, he was sailing. Terry's had one over here behind his house. And we've seen him in this area. It was a beautiful bald eagle. I mean, his head was glistening white and he was just gliding. And it wasn't long, some crows got after him and he had to go way high, but he was circling up. We tried to get a picture of him. Don't know if we ever did. But that eagle, there come a time that he won't look like that. He'll begin to molt. He'll get old. His feathers will begin to just fall out. Like I say, his beak will be calcified. And he'll go down to this place and he'll not fly any longer. He'll walk around and he'll get weak. And one thing the eagles do is they'll bring to him meat. Other eagles will bring him food while he's going through that process. And it's a long process. But all that plumage that's coming out, one of these days will begin to regrow and it'll get longer and more beautiful. It'll be ebony. It'll be black, just shiny black. And then his white head feathers will come back out. He'll take that old beak and he'll begin to strike it against the rock. And as he strikes it against that rock, all that calcium will come off. His beak, once again, will be a bright yellow and sharp as a razor. His talons the same way. And there coming a day that he'll just begin to walk out and he'll dive off the mountain. And once again, he'll fly. And I'm telling you, God over and over again has done that for us. And He satisfied our mouth with good things over and over again. All that we've ever had, not only on the physical food, but He satisfied us with spiritual food. What could we say about the truths that we know? There are people in this county that don't know anything at all about the goodness of God or the grace of God or heaven as their home. And yet you know it in general common knowledge. God satisfied your mouth with good things, spiritual things, wonderful teaching around here in our Sunday school. And sometimes the preaching's okay. And God blesses you and gives you things and something's real in your heart. Listen, He's satisfied. There are people, my dear friend, that know nothing of the forgiveness of God. They know nothing of the mercy of God. They have none of the peace of God, none of the love of God. And God's given it all to us, His tender mercies and all, listen, all those things. And He's satisfied our mouth with good things. I ought to be thankful to Him. How? From the depths of my heart, It ought to be heartfelt to understand what He's done for me. Lastly, quickly this morning, look at that. Not only does He do that for me and give me the good things to satisfy and renews my strength like the eagle, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all, circle all, that are oppressed. And who was oppressed? All of us. There are two things here. One, He speaks of righteousness. The other, He speaks of revenge. Righteousness. He executed righteousness toward us. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit of God came to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We are sinners, and we have no righteousness, and we stand in judgment before God. And like as a natural man, if you're not saved, you cannot stand before God in judgment. You'll be in hell for all eternity because you have no righteousness, but you have sin. But what did He do to us? He executed something toward us. He executed righteousness. The Holy Spirit of God came and convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And having convicted us of sin, He brought us to a place where we realized that we were sinners and the wage of sin is death and that we'd be in hell for all eternity. And when we turned by faith, turned from our sin and turned to the Savior, He gave us not only redemption, but He gave us righteousness. He clothed us in the righteousness of Christ, and He did that for us. But then He said in judgment, listen, He said, don't you judge and don't you retaliate, because He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, every wrong that's ever been done toward you, He's going to make right. Betrayals of loved ones and family and friends and people who have stolen or lied or done things against you. I promise you this, He hadn't forgot that, and He hadn't forgot them, and He hadn't forgot you. And one of these days, He's going to execute judgment. And it'll be on those who have mistreated those that were His, and God's going to deal with them. You see it in panoramic view in the nation of Israel, how He judged all the nations. And the promise to Abraham was this, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And that same principle, that same truth holds for the children of God. God will repay. Payday's coming someday. My dear friend, you don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. Don't let it drive you crazy what people have done to you. Don't you get bitter. Don't you get angry. You let God take care of that. He's going to execute righteousness to give you salvation, and He'll execute revenge to reward your enemies for what they've done to you, the apple of His eye. He loved you. Now, all of that is for those who do what? Those who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? If you have, you ought to thank Him for it, because so many never have. God was gracious to you, and you trusted Him. You ought to be thankful. Let's bow our heads this morning, and we'll have closing prayer in just a moment. Heartfelt thanks this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. David is reminded of the goodness of God, and then he recounts the goodness of God. I love that old song, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. It will surprise you what God has done. God has blessed you, and He's been so good to you. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Forget not all of His benefits. He's forgiven all of our iniquity. He healeth all of our diseases. He satisfies our mouth with good things. He's done all those things for us, and we ought to be thankful. I would encourage you this morning to be thankful. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and express to Him your gratitude and worship Him. Worship Him. It is my ministry, my life, to encourage God's people to turn and worship the Savior. And if you worship Him, you'll walk with Him. And if you walk with Him, you'll serve Him. If we could just learn to be thankful and worship, I'm telling you, our life would turn into ministry every day of our life. Heavenly Father, I pray for your people this morning. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would cause us to be reminded once again of how good you've been to all of us. And God, I pray that in doing so, that we would worship you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless his holy name. God, I pray, God, that it be real in our life and that we would worship. And if we worship, we'll walk and we'll walk right. And if we walk right, we'll witness right. God, use us for your glory. Now, Lord, I pray for friends in this building and in the internet audience who may not know Christ. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, you know who needs to be saved and here today, those in the internet. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would speak. Help us to have a wonderful, joyous day. But our Father, to be ever mindful with the depths of our heart, with all of our soul, with all that is within us, to bless your name. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Chris is going to sing just a verse of a song this morning. I invite you this morning in this Thanksgiving season, not only now that you've brought a food gift, would you want to present your body afresh anew this morning to the Lord? Maybe you want to just take a few moments. You're busy all week long, running, running, running. I count it a great honor and privilege to come and kneel in this building, to kneel in my office, to kneel around this altar. Those occasions when I can be here to kneel with the men, there's just something about bowing before Him and acknowledging His goodness and grace. I believe that's worship and adoration. I'd invite Christians to lead the way. If you're here this morning, you've been praying about a church home, you feel like this is where God would have you to be, we'd welcome you into the fellowship of this church. If you're not saved, we want to help you. And if you'd come this morning and trust Christ, we'll pray with you and help you this morning. Just come on right now. You'll not be the first. There are several coming already. I invite you to come. Get around this old-fashioned altar this morning. Express your gratitude to Him and thank Him. I know you'll be busy the rest of the week. Why don't you take this opportunity this last Sunday before Thanksgiving Day to just humbly bow before Him and acknowledge His goodness to you. It'll bless you. It'll honor Him. Just do what God wants you to do. There's room. There's room for everybody.
There's room at the cross for you.
Oh, listen to this wonderful song. Millions have come.
There's
still room for one.
Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Brother Chris will sing another verse. Many around the altar.
Millions have found Him a friend.
Jesus.
And have turned from the sin they have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gate and welcome a sinner before it's too late.
There's
room at the cross for
maybe that one.
There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Heavenly Father, this morning we are so very, very thankful for your mercy and grace. God, for all you've done for us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God, we wouldn't be here. Lord, there's no way we could know where we would be But we'd all agree that you've saved our life from destruction. God, you've given us such blessings over all these years with our family. You showered your blessing upon us. And God, I pray that you'd cause us to be thankful and grateful to you, worship you in these days, especially with our gratitude and praise you. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I ask all the Christians to do one thing right now. I want you for just a few moments to thank him for everything he's done for you and express your gratitude from the depths of your heart in this moment. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ, if you were to die before you leave, you leave this building, would you go to heaven? If you couldn't say, I'm going to heaven, would you let me just pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you, won't come to you, but I want to pray for you. Across the whole building this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? And I'm going to remember you here at the end. That act of asking prayer is a step of faith. And you can get saved if you'll believe on him. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for your mercy and grace on me and all of this church. And God, I pray you to make us ever mindful and ever grateful for every blessing. God, you've been good to us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And God, I pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, to honor you with our gratitude. And then, Lord, I pray this morning that, God, you would bless those who may not know Christ. Lord, I didn't see a hand. And God, you know hearts, but God, I pray that you'd speak to them. And I pray, God, that they'd understand that you've been good to them even. You make it rain on the just and the unjust. But God, the greatest thing you've ever done for any of us is that you gave your son that we might have life. And I pray, God, that they'd come to know Jesus Christ. God, I pray you'd make them absolutely miserable, bring Holy Ghost conviction until they come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord, and then know the peace of God and the joy that passes all understanding because they've been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Bless our friends now. God, I pray you'd give us a good service again tonight. And God, I pray, God, that you'd bless this food that they brought to go into homes and to meet needs and to be a witness for Jesus, and that God's people be encouraged and some may come to know Christ because of the generosity of God's people. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.